Greetings, and welcome to Axtel third quarter 2019 conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. A question and answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. Please note this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host today, Mr. Adrian de los Santos. Please proceed, sir.
Thank you, Latonia, and welcome to our call. Today's event will be hosted by Mr. Rolando Subirán, Axtel's Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Bernardo García, Executive Director of Strategic Planning and Business Development, and myself, Chief Financial Officer. Axtel financial information, including our third quarter report, is available in our corporate website at axtelcorp.mx. To discuss operating and financial results, we will make reference to our information as reported yesterday. That is excluding mass market results, as this business is recorded as discontinued operations since the beginning of 2018. Further details are included in our earnings report. Also, let me remind you that information discussed in this call may constitute forward-looking statements regarding future events or future financial performance of the company. These statements reflect management's current views, which are subject to different risks. Therefore, the company disclaims any obligation to update statements in this call based on new information available. Now, let me turn the call over to Mr. Rolando Subirán for his initial remarks. Rolando, please.
Thank you, Adrian, and thanks everyone for being with us today. Before reviewing our financial results, I would like to comment about the company's major events in this quarter. Results in the third quarter are in line with the company's performance throughout the year. Enterprise segment revenues increased 3% in the quarter, consistent with the 4% growth recorded in the first nine-month period of the year. Government segment performance in the quarter continue lagging, particularly non-recurrent revenues. In the quarter, our innovation and digital transformation initiatives continued boosting our productivity and profitability, reflected in a positive year-to-date EBITDA performance, which is heading to meet our full-year guidance. During the year, we have implemented more than 40 robotic process automations, or RPAs, in different areas of the company, such as field operations, finance, and human resources. These RPAs were developed by both IT experts and colleagues who have acquired digital capabilities through training and immersing a digital culture in the company. These initiatives contributed to the 6% expenses reduction, despite increases in energy prices and inflation index items such as rents, maintenance, and personnel, contributing to a 6% EBITDA growth in the quarter. Although the third quarter government segment performance has improved compared to the first and second quarters of this year, it is behind our initial expectations for the year. We have discussed potential new projects with different federal government entities, all aligned with the new administration priorities. However, we remain cautious about medium-term sustained visibility for the segment, as we have yet to see a consistent pipeline of new opportunities. 2 weeks ago, we successfully signed a strategic agreement with Equinix to enhance our colocation, interconnection, and cloud solutions, and at the same time, deliver in our commitment to improve our capital structure towards our stated 2.5 times net leverage ratio goal. We expect the transaction to close early next year after receiving regulatory approval. Upon closing, Equinix will be the majority owner of the three data centers, and through a joint marketing agreement, we will be able to continue offering colocation and interconnection services, as part of a larger and global integrated customer solutions. This transaction will be transparent to our customers who currently have services hosted in these data centers, as they will continue to be served by our service business unit, Alestra. This month, we formally started the transition to operate under two specialized business units, the infrastructure and the service business units. This functional separation should present attractive opportunities going forward. On the one hand, infrastructure business unit, wholesale customers should demand more fiber to connect towers and expand backhaul footprint. We also expect increasing demand for high bandwidth for streaming, cloud, and Internet of Things opportunities. On the other side, Alestra, our service business unit, will continue to benefit from its 18,000 customer base that will continue adopting cloud services and applications, demanding the integration of more complex systems and requesting managed network services, accompanied by reliable cybersecurity solutions. In our earnings release, we are presenting year-to-date financial information for the two business units. The infrastructure business unit represents 52% of accumulated 2019 EBITDA, while the service business unit, 48%. All projects executed in the last 2 years, including divesting the towers in 2017, exiting the mass market segment in 2018, and recently signing a strategic agreement with Equinix, together with the separation of our organization in two business units, have helped Axtel to further focus on providing world-class IT and managed telecom solutions to our core segment, where we maintain a strong competitive position. Additionally, these projects have also helped us improve our capital structure, giving us the necessary flexibility to execute our focused strategy, which will translate into continued value creation for all stakeholders. Before moving on to our financial results, let me briefly share with you the progress of our innovation programs. In addition to our fourth generation NAVE growth program, which focuses on scale-ups, we recently launched NAVE Seed, a mentoring program for micro and small ICT Mexican startups that are not yet candidates for the NAVE Growth Program. Also in the quarter, and in coordination with global IT leading companies, we hosted our first Innovators Annual Forum, where our customers learned about the opportunities and challenges presented by digital innovation. With that, Adrián will now make some additional remarks and present a summary of the operating and financial results of the quarter. Adrián?
Thank you, Rolando. With net proceeds from the tower and mass market segment divestments and cash from our operations, we have reduced debt and liabilities by $340 million, cutting interest expenses by over $30 million and reducing our net leverage ratio from over 4 times in 2017 to 3.3 times. Once the data centers agreement closes and funds are received, our net leverage ratio should come to less than 3 times, and interest expense will come down to slightly over $50 million. At the end of the quarter, we maintain a position of close to 23 million Axtel CPOs under our share buyback program. We're convinced that the sum of the value of the different business units of our company, as evidenced by the agreement for the three data centers, is significantly richer than the value currently reflected in the market. Total revenues for the third quarter increased 1%. Enterprise segment revenues increased 3% in the quarter, reflecting 3% and 5% growth in telecom and IT services revenues, respectively. Regarding telecom service revenues from enterprise customers, voice revenues declined 13% in the quarter, mostly explained by a 35% reduction in fixed mobile and international traffic revenues. Data and internet revenues increased 3% year over year, explained by increased demand for internet services as more applications migrate to cloud environment, which also explains the decline in revenues from dedicated data links. Revenues from managed network services increased 12% in the third quarter, driven by a 73% increase in managed solutions, mainly due to an infrastructure-based revenues related to a fiber connectivity contract. IT revenues from enterprise customers increased 5% as a 7% increase in system integration, hosting, and cybersecurity revenues compensated a 5% decline in cloud services. Voice represented 16% of enterprise revenues in the quarter, and total revenues, excluding voice, increased 7% year over year. Concerning the government segment, third quarter revenues declined 10%, made up by a 3% decline in recurrent revenues and a 100% decline in non-recurrent revenues in the quarter. Government telecom services revenues declined 3%, mainly explained by a 26% decline in voice. With respect to government IT services, third quarter revenues recorded a 16% decline. Security services revenues declined significantly due to the termination of a major security contract that expired by the end of 2018, which was partially compensated by system integration revenues that increased during the quarter. Our cost of revenues, excluding depreciation and amortization charges, increased 8%, explained by the increase in enterprise segment non-recurring revenue. Contribution margin declined 1% as the 28% decline in the contribution margin of voice services revenues due to pricing pressure was not compensated by contribution margin increases in data and network managed services and IT services. As a percentage, our contribution margin declined from 75.8% to 74.1% due to the pricing pressure experienced by voice services. Operating expenses declined 86 million pesos, or 6% vis-a-vis third quarter 2018. IFRS explained 68 million pesos, and the remaining benefit is the result of digital innovation initiatives that result in efficiencies in personnel, maintenance, and other expenses that more than compensate the effect of certain inflation index contracts. EBITDA in the quarter total 1,111 million pesos compared to 1,045 million pesos in the same period of last year. CAPEX in the third quarter was 396 million pesos or $20 million. This amount compares to 576 million pesos plus 140 million pesos in vendor financing or leases or $38 million combined in the third quarter of 2018. Cash reserves total $39 million at the end of the quarter, compared to $43 million at the beginning of the quarter. As of the end of the year, total debt was $805 million, and the ratio of net debt to EBITDA was 3.4 times. With this, we're happy to take your questions. Latonia, if you please open the call for questions.
Thank you. At this time, we will conduct a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. Once again, that's star 1 at this time. One moment while we poll for our first question. Our first question comes from Alejandro Galogastra with BBVA. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning, Rolando and Adrián. Thank you very much for taking my questions. First, in the press release, you mentioned that 54% of the infrastructure revenues come from Alestra service unit. How about the remaining 46%? Where do they come from? Who are the clients? How likely are they to stick with you? And also, what are your growth expectations for this business? And my second question is also regarding the infrastructure unit. How much operating leverage is embedded in this business? How much of the costs are fixed versus variable? Thank you.
Hi, Alejandro. Let me take your first question. 54% of the revenues comes talking about the two business units. The infrastructure business unit generates, as you said, 54% of the revenues from Alestra, the services business unit, and the rest come from a group of approximately 50 customers, wholesale customers that have a relationship, a long-standing relationship with Axtel. These are national and international wholesale customers. And the second question was about the margins of the infrastructure business unit.
Yes, more specifically about the operating leverage that's embedded in the business. As the business grows, how much of these costs are fixed versus variable? Just to have a sense of the operating leverage that we should look for going forward.
At this point, Alejandro, what we can share with you is that we are in the process of defining all the strategy for growth for our infrastructure division, and we are building a full business plan that we have to present to our board for approval during the next coming 2 months. So what we are sharing is that out of this of the first division that we have between business units, 52% of our EBITDA reported during the first 9 months of the year corresponds to infrastructure, and 48% corresponds to our services business unit. In terms of growth, we are in the process of completing a long-term view based on market analysis and studies that we are about to terminate and conclude during this fourth quarter of the year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Alejandro.
Our next question comes from Carlos Magrera with GBM. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, thank you. Good morning. My first question is perhaps more strategic. Regarding this infrastructure unit, Rolando or perhaps Bernardo, do you think that the idea is to keep this company fully integrated within Axtel, or do you think you would eventually plan to perhaps join a joint venture or associate with somebody else? That'll be the first question, please.
Sure. Good morning, Carlos. This is Bernardo. That's an excellent question, and the idea is to make sure that we exploit the full potential of this business unit, of the infrastructure business unit. So if that can be achieved through keeping it integrated in the company, that's a possibility, but we are open to receive a capital injection in this business unit in order to have the proper capital structure and growth potential for that. We believe that there will be some investments in the future for this infrastructure business, and we are also entering into a different arena where the cost of capital should be lower and the long-term view should be aligned with this type of businesses. But we are very excited because this is a very profitable and growing business, and we will be soon sharing expectations and figures about it as we are completing our business plan.
That's very helpful. Thank you. And the follow-up, if I may, perhaps for Adrián, Do you think it will be possible to perhaps disclose the IFRS effect on EBITDA margins within this functional separation? I mean, would it be possible to know the margins without the benefit of IFRS? Thank you.
Yes, certainly we can share that. I will tell you that in the quarter, IFRS, the effect of IFRS was about 68 million pesos. I should say that about 80 to 85, I mean, I can give you the exact figure later on, but approximately 80% will go to infrastructure and the other 20% will go to services, or 70-30, something around those numbers. I can show you the exact figures, but given that most of the IFRS effect in Axtel, it's in relation to the 1,500 sites that we have and all these sites are under control of the infrastructure business unit. That's the breakdown I'm giving you at this time.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you. And the final, if I may, I remember you've been talking about a spectrum renewal of around $15 million. Has that already happened, or is that still pending? Thank you.
Yes, we're talking about the 7, 10, 15, 23 frequencies. The 7 frequency is occurring this year. We expect to invest approximately $2 million in the fourth quarter, and most likely the cash investments for the other frequencies will go into first quarter of next year. There is a lot of progress, but looking at the timing and how that works out, we think it will go into next year, the renewal of the rest of the frequencies.
That's great. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ron Danino with MUFG. Please proceed with your question.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
hello?
Ron.
Yeah, thank you for the call. So I just wanted to better understand what is the leverage policy for the company as to where do you expect leverage to be over the next 1 to 3 years? And also, do you expect any dividend payouts? Thank you.
Hi, Ron. Our target net leverage ratio, as we have said before, it's, and as Rolando said earlier today, it's 2.5 times. Obviously, it's a target that we're gradually looking to it. We're coming down from over 4 times to current 3.3 times. If we include the expected proceeds, net proceeds from the 3 data center transactions, that will put us under 3 times. We think that eventually getting to the 2.5 times organically should be by the end of next year, not later than beginning of year 2021. And once we're near that level, then we obviously will analyze the best use of cash flow, how we can maximize value for shareholders, either investing in growth, dividends, for the reducing debt, or any other possibility.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Sorry, I missed that comment earlier. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Rodrigo Villanueva with Merrill Lynch. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Rolando, Adrian, Bernardo. My first question is related to more than 40,000 kilometers of backbone and fiber optic network that you have. I have the impression that you were considering to potentially monetize it. Is this still the case following your functional separation idea? That would be my first question. Thank you.
Okay. Good morning, Rodrigo. This is Bernardo. Thanks for the question.
Yes. Well, the idea is to extract the maximum value possible for shareholders from these assets that we have in the infrastructure business. As you know, we are creating a separate business unit with a growth potential that, which is very high, and this is comparable to companies in the infrastructure arena in other countries like in the U.S., where valuations are about 10 times multiples, EBITDA multiples. So that is a potential path that we could follow if that ends up in a transaction with some specialized company that is already participated in this type of business. That is a possibility, and we also have an organic plan that will extract the value over time because of the high growth potential in these markets, and the market studies that we recently made confirm that there is a very big opportunity to continue the expansion and growth and profitability going ahead, creating value for the shareholders.
Understood. Thank you very much. Very clear. My second question is regarding non-recurring revenue for the enterprise segment. So far this year, they have been growing very strongly, by more than 270%. So I was wondering if you could share with us in more detail what has been driving this, which type of projects you have been developing as non-recurrent, and finally, do you think this strong performance is sustainable? Thank you.
Rodrigo, this time, and just to repeat your question, you're talking about non-recurring enterprise segment revenues, correct?
That's right.
Oh, yes. That has to do, as we lately started, even though the functional separation, as mentioned, has just started in the company, we had made some infrastructure-based transactions, some fiber capacity contracts already, and that reflect that's reflected in these revenues. Right now are sort of non-recurrent because they're not a contract with the same customer every time. But as we grow in our strategy, this should come more frequent and as a continuous basis with different customers. So that's the reason for the growth in that line.
But Miguel, just let me add, this is Rolando, let me just add some additional comments to what Adrian has just mentioned. We are, as I mentioned before, we are in the process of doing a full revision of the business plan for the two business units, the infrastructure and the services business units. For the infrastructure, Bernardo has already described, we have made a market study, and we are detecting a great potential and acceleration in the growth in the market with fiber, and we are in the process of defining what will be the strategies in order to fund all the capex required for that growth in the infrastructure. In the services business unit, we will be focusing in developing and launching into the market next year a new generation of digital services for all the enterprise and government segments. So we are concentrated on that. We do believe that there is a great potential also for the digital transformation process that all the industry in all different segments of the Mexican economy are going through. So we will be focusing in this new era, and we do believe that we will be also exposed to a high demand of these new digital services. So those are the main broad lines of the business plans that we are developing, which we will be in a position to share in more detail first quarter of next year.
Understood. Very clear, Rolando. My final question is related to CapEx. So far this year, you have invested $62 million dollars, and he appears to be analyzing around 85 million. I believe that your guidance was close to 120 million. So I was wondering if you could share with us why is this the case? What are you forecasting now for the full year? And do you think that lower capital deployment could potentially prevent you to accelerate growth going forward? Thank you.
Rodrigo, this is Adrián again. Yes, we said in our guidance $120 million for of CapEx. That included approximately $20 million in frequencies, in the renewal of certain spectrum frequencies. As I said, out of that amount, only $2 million will be invested this year. So excluding that, the CapEx should have been approximately $100 million. We're targeting or we're expecting CapEx approximately at $90 million this year, $85 to $90 million, as you said. And the underinvestment vis-a-vis our guidance mostly related to the revenues growth, particularly government segment. As seen in our results, government revenues are down more than 10%, and obviously the expected investments associated with that revenue have not been made. Going forward, we don't think that these CapEx will defer growth opportunities. We've certainly been growing our network and investing in enterprise segment projects. Hopefully we can have more visibility in the near future regarding the government segment.
Understood. Thank you very much, Adrián. So just basically related to the $20 million on spectrum CapEx, is this something that is postponed for 2020?
Yes, for most likely first quarter of next year.
Understood. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Rodrigo.
Our next question comes from Miguel Garcia with Citi. Please proceed with your question.
Hi. I have two questions, if I may. First, has the sale of the fiber optic business to Televisa actually closed, legally closed? And if not, do you see any risks of the deal closing after the IFT's determination last week? And second, what are the debt repayment priorities from the proceeds from the sale of the data center? Would you consider any partial tender of the bonds or any other liability management? Thank you.
Hello, Miguel.
Hello, Miguel. This is
Bernardo.
This is Bernardo.
Regarding the first question, we're seeing some.
If you could put your line.
Okay, thank you. I was saying that the transaction with Televisa is completely closed for Axtel. We received the final approval from IFT. So as regards to Axtel, that is something that is completely done. We have no relationship to that business going forward. So this is we are now completely into the business-to-business segment already. So I don't know if that was the focus of your first question.
And no economic or financial impact for Axtel.
Yes, we collected all the payments related to those transactions, and everything is fine for Axtel.
Concerning your second question, Miguel, about the use of potential proceeds from the agreement with Equinix. Well, first of all, we have to meet the closing conditions. We have to obtain the IFT approval, and first quarter next year we expect to close the transaction. And we have yet to decide as to how to reduce debt, how to apply the proceeds. You mentioned making a tender or repaying bonds or buying bonds. Obviously, that's within our balance sheet. That's part of our debt, and we will consider all options. At this time, we have not made a decision yet, as proceeds will come in until first quarter next year.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Miguel.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Arturo Langa with Itaú BBA. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my question. I have three questions, sorry, but very briefly. First is, you mentioned that for the infrastructure business, the comparables that you look at command of a multiple of close to 10 times EBITDA. I was wondering if you have a similar list of peers for the other business, for the services business, and what multiples are you seeing there? My second question would be, and please correct me if I'm mistaken, but I understand that you are still receiving some revenues from the companies that you sold the mass market business to for operating that part of their network. And if so, if you could quantify that. And also if you could provide an outlook of when that should phase out. And then my last question would be regarding AT&T. I understand it's your largest client or one of your largest clients. And if you can comment if you're seeing any deceleration in terms of their investments or contracts with you, considering their outlook in the country has been spoken about recently. That would be my questions. Thank you.
Okay, first of all, your first question has to do with the references from the industries regarding our two business units, infrastructure and services. But what we can give you some general guidelines of what is our thoughts. Our infrastructure business plan will be moving in line with an industry that is named infrastructure. And this infrastructure industry, we have references from different international banks in different markets of the world. And what we can conclude is that this industry is moving with multiples of double digits. We cannot be more precise on that because it will depend very much on the level of maturity of the industry and the specific maturity of each and every company operating in this industry. So, but it's a double-digit multiple. On the services side, also there are multiple reports from international banks. Services, we know and we can conclude that corresponds to an industry all over the world that is moving with multiples in the in the upper second half of the one digit range.
Okay.
Second question.
Yeah, regarding your question about the FTTH business that we sold. We are in the transition period where we are still operating some part of that business as a managed service for the new owners of those businesses. In that regard, that operation has a zero impact on the company, since we are just getting reimbursed by the expenses that still are happening under Axtel's managed service operation. That is a transition period that is winding down and it's soon to end. On the other hand, there are some infrastructure services for long term with this company, since part of the infrastructure that we sold requires to be connected to fiber optic and requires co-location. So one segment of that business remains in the long term revenues and financial figures of this infrastructure business. Actually, the buyers of this business are part of the target market that the infrastructure business unit is serving with our new strategy.
Now, regarding your third question, specifically with the development of AT&T as a customer of Axtel during this year, what we can share with you is a very general comment. What we have seen is an overall slowdown in the market. Mm-hmm. Slowdown in terms of new projects, slowdown in terms of approving investment for new expansions. Mm-hmm. But this is a valid comment, not only for one specific customer like AT&T, which is one of our largest customers, but it's a comment that is relevant and valid for all the market and all the economy as a whole.
Great. Thank you. And thank you for allowing me to have three questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Arturo.
Thank you. At this time, there are no further questions in queue. I would like to turn the call back over to Mr. De Los Santos for closing comments.
Thank you, Latonia. And thanks, everyone, for participating in our call today. Our IR team, as always, are more than happy to take further questions from all of you. Have a good day.
Thank you. This does conclude today's teleconference. You may disconnect your lines at this time and have a great day.